Offside presents a World Cup group preview with Andrew Gunling and JJ DeVan.
Oh, yes! It's caught offside. It's from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. It is Andrew Gunling. It is JJ Devaney. And it is our Group B World Cup preview. What's up, brother?
Hey, man, that is a chilled vibe intro that we got going on.
I like that song.
I do like it, too.
Yeah. I wonder if there's going to be like a big outcry from people now who want that to like be the song moving forward.
It's too cool for us on a day-to-day basis.
I think we're cool enough. How dare you? Don't lump me in with your whatever sort of...
You're actually wearing a shirt I like for once.
So. It's just a gray shirt.
Yeah, it looks good.
And why, for once? Don't think I didn't hear that. We did our Group A World Cup preview podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed it. This is now Group B. We're just mowing them down. Group B, Iran, Morocco, Portugal, and Spain. It's a pretty interesting group, I would say. And like we did on our Group A preview podcast, we're going to take you on a little musical tour of all of these different nations. What we do, I went and searched online to see the number one songs in all of these countries. Typically, that was either by how often they're viewed on YouTube or how often they're listened to on Spotify. And the disclaimer, of course, that I'll say again until people get used to it, that not all of these artists may be from that country, but it just happens to be the number one song in that country.
And that's what matters.
And that's what matters. So we start... Let's start with this, my friend. It's Farzad Farzin, Ba Tu Mimum Nam in Iran. The build-up.
Oh, yeah, you got to let that hook is going to drop.
The lights just went out in here. There's a strobe effect happening.
Fist pumping. We are on the Iranian version of the Jersey Shore.
All right. I like that. I feel that. Speaking of the Jersey Shore, I've been watching the reboot. I never watched any of the original ones, but I've been watching it because my wife is like loves it. So I've been...
I'm sure it's easy to pick up on.
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you right now, I actually have really enjoyed it myself.
I lived
it's
it,
really
man.
Really funny.
I lived it.
What do you mean?
I used to live on the Jersey Shore.
Which town?
Belmar.
Oh, yeah. You kind of did. Yeah. Back to Iran. Trivia question. They've been to four World Cups. This is their fifth. They have just one win. JJ?
Were you just starting to forget about the U.S. not qualifying for the World Cup? Well, it's time for another edition of Andrew Gunling Abruptly Brings Us Down.
Who was that one win against?
It was against the mighty USA. Casey Keller in goal, I believe.
Yeah.
Flailing after two pretty excellent goals, I thought, in France.
Yeah.
In 1998.
France 98. It was the lowest point as a fan of the U.S. men's national team for me.
Well, there was the
Until Trinidad.
Was it?
France 98, yeah. That was when my love of soccer was really kind of blossoming. And I was very excited because I loved Eddie Pope. And Nike had all these cool commercials out for him, and it all just... They finished dead last at the tournament. It was a horrible, horrible showing.
And I remember the lead into the game because of the political history. So there was wreath swapping and just kind of a nice vibe. And I thought, oh, isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
And then Iran went out and completely shellacked you.
Yeah, so...
This has been Andrew Gunling Abruptly Brings Us Down.
Back to Iran... Let's see, who are the key players? Who are the people on this team that people need to know about?
Yahan Bax, 21 goals, 12 assists for AZ Alkmaar in the Eredivisie, largely from a right-wing position. And Sardar Azmoun from Rubin Kazan. Those guys are going to power this front line, which I've been told from qualification and from what I've seen on the tape, gone to the tape just like Gruden, they could be a potential dark horse.
Okay. I also have a dark horse in this group for the tournament, but it is not this Iranian team. Now,
I'm not saying a dark horse for the tournament. I'm talking as a dark horse.
I heard what you said. Semi-finalist, bare minimum.
A team that could cause, let's say, some disruption to some established powers.
Oh. This feels like him teasing that he doesn't have Portugal going through. Wow. I also had Sardar Azmoun as my key player for this Iranian side. 31 appearances for his country, 23 goals. That is a phenomenal goal-scoring rate for this Iranian side. So he is somebody that I would be looking to lead the line, to score the goals for this team. Now, if they are going to go on a run, which clearly you have that happening, what are some of the things that you foresee?
It's not foreseeing them. It's what they need to do. And they have to find the goals from those players that we mentioned. They also need to win the first game. I think that's going to be absolutely crucial. It's huge. It's massive. It sets the tone. Tournaments aren't that complicated, people. If you can win your first game, you may only need to pick up one more point and you're well on your way to getting out of the group.
Here's what I said, and it kind of echoes a little bit of a similar sentiment to that of Egypt, except the one thing from Egypt that we talked about in the Group A preview was that they had Mo Salah. But Iran, like Egypt, defending. It was how they succeeded. It was how they got themselves into this tournament in the first place. Here's what they did. If they defend the way that they did during qualifying, which we never know how to judge qualification campaigns, they didn't give up a goal in qualifying until the final match day when they had already booked their spot and it was a game that was largely meaningless. That's phenomenal. If they can do that in a group where, I don't have a great feeling about them, but if they can defend like that, if they can frustrate a Morocco or a Portugal, I don't see them bogging down Spain. Spain's midfield we'll get to, but who knows? Eke out a couple draws. But it's going to have to happen with defense. Nil-nils, things like that. They may not be the most fun team to watch in this tournament, but if they're going to succeed and go on a run, that's probably how it's going to have to happen.
Well, their imminently winnable game is the first game. So,
which you have often mentioned as being the most important game.
Well, it is when it falls like that. You know, you're not taking the L. This is some good stuff for them. It's a good start for them. For me, Carlos Queiroz is key. He's the X factor in that.
Their manager.
Yes. He has inside knowledge of one of the teams in this group. Is there something that he can impart upon his players that can stifle or make it difficult for Portugal in that game, right? Because I'm putting them down that they're going to lose to the Spanish. So they get 3 points in their first game, if it's possible, and maybe sneak a draw against Portugal, and the shape of this group is changed. I'm just guessing. I'm looking at pads for them.
Okay.
And Carlos Queiroz and his extensive knowledge of Portugal might be something that could work in their favor.
In terms of something that I worry about with them, a potential pitfall, I thought they made a bit of an odd selection when they announced their team. They left off 26-year-old Kaveh Rezaei, who, if you don't know who he is, he plays professionally for Charleroi in the Belgian league, a team that actually finished third in that league, ahead of some clubs that you have probably heard of more than Charleroi. He had 16 goals for them in 39 games. He was one of their best players. He did not make this Iranian squad. And as we mentioned, it's a team that they may be hurting for goals. Maybe that's why they left them off. They want to emphasize defending. They felt like they don't need other creative, attack-minded players. I don't know.
I disagree with that. I think you can never have enough.
Yeah, at some point you're going to have to score. And for a guy who is coming off an excellent season in Belgium, I thought that was an odd choice. And look, the other undoing for them, they've had bad luck in terms of their groupings at the last two World Cups. 4 years ago, they wound up having to go up against Argentina when, remember, Messi scored in extra time.
And they played brilliantly.
Yeah, it was nil-nil, right? And then Messi, right at the end, just did Messi things. And this time around, it's not Messi that they get, but it's going to be Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal, not to mention Spain. So, look, when you're coming from the last pot, these are things that can happen.
But there are.
It seems like they just get stuck against like the best players in the world.
I hear you, but the signs are there that they're organized enough to stifle a team. What they can't do is score a goal, and pointing out to this guy from Charleroi that he didn't make the team is a great shout by you, because that's where they're deficient.
Yeah, and I worry about that. Do you have any X factors?
I said my X factor is the manager. Oh. It really is to me.
I see.
Because he's vastly experienced, and maybe he can do something to get them over the hump against Portugal.
Yeah. So there you go. That is Iran. As we continue through here, I once again want to give out the same disclaimer that I gave out in the first one, that we're going to mispronounce everything. So just know that, okay?
Okay.
We move now to Morocco, And the number one song in Morocco, this according to most watched YouTube videos, comes from Saad Lamjared. It's called Ghazali. You're making a face like you ate like bad meat or something.
No.
You're not a fan?
It just sounds like a standard Eurovision Song Contest entry.
Okay. Well, that wasn't very nice. You mentioned Iran as possibly being one of your maybe kind of sort of dark horses.
No, I'm just saying that they're...
You use the word.
They're potentially, they're better than people may think.
Okay. Well, we may have come up upon one of mine in Morocco.
Not just yours.
Oh.
Many people's.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't pay attention to anyone but myself. That includes you. Let's see. Key players. I went with one guy in particular here. Hakim Ziyech. Attacking, creative midfielder for Ajax. JJ, he was the Dutch Footballer of the Year. Led the Eredivisie in assists. Led the league in key passes by a huge margin. And he's a candidate, I would say, to be kind of the token player who bursts on the scene in an international tournament and then is signed to a major deal.
Well, actually, he's already on the radar of the new director of football at the Everton's. Marcel Brands is already looking into him.
Don't stop there.
17 assists, by the way.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
In addition to Everton, I also read that he's on the radar of Liverpool, Leicester, Roma, and Dortmund. All clubs that have maybe expressed at least some level of interest. You talked about this in the Group A podcast. For me, this was the YouTube rabbit hole that I got sucked down, was watching his highlight videos.
Right.
Now, YouTube highlight videos, for anybody that gets into like the NFL draft or the NBA draft, and that's how you study up on guys, you know already it's a dangerous act because YouTube videos of highlight reels of guys tend to only have their most awesome moments. But, JJ, I was so smitten with watching this guy in how electric he is, in how exciting, in his kind of flair and flash and style. In this entire tournament, if we're talking about the smaller teams, he might be at the top of my list of guys that, like, ordinarily, if Morocco was playing, I don't know that I would stop everything. But I was so blown away by his YouTube video that I think Hakim Ziyech has brought me into the fold. And now if Morocco's on, I'm going to stop and watch.
It shows the difference in when Morocco were last at a tournament, France 98, when I was but a boy. And players burst onto the scene. And how did I know about them? Because I saw them at France 98.
Right,
I wasn't
right.
able to watch them on YouTube. So Youssef Chippo and Mustafa Hadji, who were basically transferred to the Premier League to Coventry based on their performances in France 98. It's a different world we're in right now. You pre-tournament can tell somebody who can potentially burst into the scene. You've listed him as their best player?
He's my key player for them, yeah.
Yeah, I've Mehdi Benassia, who is captain and obviously the most recognisable name considering his performances for Juventus. Look, again, this is a team that's going to probably sit deep, absorb a lot of pressure, and key to that will be having good defenders. One thing that cropped up for me in terms of defence was the goalkeeper. There may be a fight for the number one jersey with the incumbent for qualifying. He is in kind of a unique distinction in that he's not ever played in the top flight division of any league he's been in. He plays for Numancia in Spain. His name is Munir. But he's not ever played in the top flight anywhere. So going to a World Cup is going to be something of a culture shock to be in amongst the great and the good. That's going to be interesting. But Benatia, for me, is going to be crucial for them outside of, obviously, Ziyech.
That is obviously a good shout. Now, I actually am going to take exception with something you just said.
Oh.
And it's one of the reasons that I am particularly excited about Morocco. I don't think that their style is going to be to sit back and put guys behind the ball, because that is not what they do. And I wouldn't expect them to change everything now. Yes, okay, when they play against Spain, maybe their style will change. But by
I would
and large,
think so.
But by and large, you know, when we talk about these smaller countries, that is what we talk about. Like you said, defend, defend, defend. Put guys behind the ball. Try to get something on the counter. Blah blah blah.
I'm not.
But that's not them.
That's not. Again, you're misreading.
They control possession. They press high. They're aggressive. So that's one of the things that I'm excited about with them. I hope that they don't change what they do, what their hallmark is. I want to see them play like that because it's what's worked for them. And I think that could be one of their keys here is don't change. Maybe, you know, surprise a Portugal or something like that.
I'm not saying they're not going to be good on the ball. I'm not saying they're not going to be able to break and create. But like just by nature of look at the two teams in the group, the skill and the technical abilities of both Portugal and Spain, they're not going to see a lot of the ball. That's just a fact. And so breaking and being able to absorb pressure is going to be key for them.
Well, we'll see.
Don't you dare just misrepresent my comments. And I remember their team in France 98, which was desperately unlucky not to advance out of that group. And you are right in the sense that who they are is not to sit back.
Yeah.
They take the game to teams.
In terms of their undoing or question marks surrounding them, there was something that really bummed me out. We did our Devonlings last week. And for my goal of the season, I selected Sofyan Boufal of Southampton and his incredible run that he went on against West Brom. So when I didn't see his name on the Moroccan team sheet for this World Cup, I was stunned. He had a falling out. Well, I guess a falling out, but his falling out with Mark Hughes caused him a spot on the bench for Southampton for pretty much the entire end of the season. I think from March 31st on, I don't know that he played for Southampton. And because of that, he was left off of the Moroccan World Cup roster. I was very surprised to see that. I thought even with that happening for him at Southampton, he would still be of a certain level of quality.
That's brutal, isn't it?
But he's not on the team, and I wonder if they'll miss that.
How naive am I to think that? If you had said that to me, put out that exact scenario, I would have said, look, Morocco don't have those kind of options. They're definitely bringing him anyway.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Yeah.
But no. So I worry there. You got anything else on Morocco?
No, not really. I think you covered it. You covered my X factor, which is Zaïk as well. So.
Okay. Yeah. Very excited about him. We continue then as we head now from Morocco to Portugal. And with that, we hear from Salvador Sobral, his song Amar Pelos Dua. And I believe this song appeared in Eurovision for Portugal.
Eu sei que não se é sozinho. Talvez devagarinho possas voltar a aprender.
It's kind of nice. I don't know.
You're not going to win Eurovision in the last 15 years with a ballad.
Okay.
It's just not going to do it.
It's currently the number one song on Spotify in Portugal, so take that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of a nice sound to it. Here we go. Portugal. Oh, Portugal. One general question that I have for them.
Right.
So they're the current holders for the European Championship. With that in mind, what do they need to do for this to be considered a successful World Cup?
It's weird, isn't it?
Because they just won the most recent Euros. But even with that, I don't feel like we're entering this tournament with me. Like, normally, if you won the European Championships, I'd say, well, that team is a favorite. But I don't think I look at Portugal in that light.
No, because even after the final whistle was blown in Paris, we didn't really think that they were the best team in that tournament, and we thought that France came up really flat and short in the final. Say what you like about Ronaldo, that's the way we felt. And there was also moments, I think they scraped out of the group.
Like, oh yeah.
They didn't.
Well, remember that wild 3-3 against Hungary?
Yeah. They also had to beat Poland on penalties. They had to beat Croatia in extra time. This wasn't a cakewalk by any matter.
I don't think they beat anybody in 90 minutes in that entire tournament.
And they beat Wales in 90 minutes.
I think that was their only win.
Yeah. In the semi-final. Look, they were who they were, and we said they were perfectly built for the tournament in terms of how rigid they were at the back, and they had just enough up front to, more than just enough with Ronaldo, to win it. So, but I get how you're feeling. But that's like Greece in 2004.
Right.
You know, you didn't think, oh, Greece are going to kick on and win in the World Cup in 2006. That happens. It's tournament football. That's the nature of it. But you're right to feel that way. Honestly, I think they should get to a quarterfinal.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. But you're very confusing right now.
How, in what way?
Well, you're talking about Iran being a dark horse.
No, I'm just saying they're better than people think they are. I'm not saying they're going to go and do it.
Well, what needs to happen for them to go and do it?
What needs to happen for
Portugal?
Look, the first game, if they can manage to get a result. Look, you're laughing at me, but their first game is actually, when I saw it come out, I was like, that's kind of unfair. And then in another way, it's brilliant. It's like a cup final out the get-go.
Yeah.
Whoever wins that or prevails in that is going to win the group.
Probably.
That is the way I would look at it.
Spain. You're talking about Portugal, Spain.
Yeah. Everything goes from that game. Simple as that.
Yeah. I would tend to agree with you. I think for them to go on a run, a couple things. Ronaldo, look, I don't want this to be so cliche and just all be about him, but he's so clearly their best player. I hope he's healthy. I mean, obviously, we saw what happened to him in the European Championships when he kind of broke down at the worst time. It wound up not biting them. They still beat France.
So it was the final game.
Right. It happened in the final against France. They still went on to win it. But I hope he's good. But this has been a long season for him, especially the second half of the season when he really kicked on. It's been somewhat grueling, a lengthy Champions League run, obviously, into the final. So I hope he's him. I hope he's good. And we just talked about how Portugal, you know, their defense, it was so key for them 2 years ago. It's pretty much the same group coming back.
That's what I had written down. It's an aging defense that needs to repeat the trick of 2016 when they only conceded once in the knockout round, okay? No, they only conceded four times in World Cup qualifying. Now, everyone's going to say it's as you were with that defense, Pepe, Bruno Alves, et al. But it's not, because you're asking them to do it now in a very, very compact space of time, which could be grueling for guys who are well, well into their 30s. But as it goes, they're in good shape. I think their midfield is a bigger issue for me. But I'll get to that in my X Factor.
Okay. Well, for me, for their undoing, you kind of mentioned it just now. A possible pitfall for them is they are old. Now, whether or not that manifests itself, because it's one of those things where if they lose prematurely, we'll say, oh, well, they just aged too quickly. You know, they got old fast, and that's that. Or if they go on and they have a good tournament, we'll say, oh, well, they're wily vets, a very experienced
right.
side. So I don't know how it's going to play out. But if you're looking at them for potential question marks, Ronaldo, I'd say mid-30s now, right? 33 counts as mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
Pepe, mid-30s. Bruno Alves, who's been old forever. Jose Font, 35 or 36, I think he is. Ricardo Quaresma, in his mid-30s. I mean, these are some really key players for them who are up there in age. So, you know, we'll see. And coming off the end of all of their seasons, we'll see.
To balance that out, I'm not talking defensively. I'm talking midfield and attack. Bernardo Silva, João Mário. Can I talk about their X factor?
Yeah, Bernardo Silva was mine, because I, even though he barely played for Man City, when he comes on, I love his game. That's all I'll say about him. You take it from there.
Right, okay. Well, I'm talking about Ruben Neves of Wolverhampton Wanderers. Bear with me now. Yeah. I know it's a championship. I'm not a huge fan of that Portuguese midfield, and I think Neves can add something to it. Find a way to pair André Silva and Ronaldo together, which they have done, and it can work. You've got a more dynamic midfield behind that. And while you need the João Marios and the William Carvalhos to screen that ageing defence, if they're more on the front foot than 2016, which they should be, they could be dangerous. It all depends on the attitude and how they go to set up. I think they could be a potentially dangerous team. I know you're kind of saying to me, well, you're giving me mixed signals on them because you're saying Iran or Morocco could potentially upset the apple cart. If Iran or Morocco are going to set up anyone, I believe it'll be Portugal, not Spain. That said, you look at that Portuguese squad, there is enough young players mixed in with that blend for them to be dangerous. And I think Neves is one of them.
And I know how much you adore the championship.
That's not the reason. I just think he's a player that's way out of the league of the championship. He's beyond the championship.
I'm so
he just happened to end up there, okay. And we know why.
because he's great and that league is the best. I'm so curious about João Mário because remember how mad West Ham fans were when they signed him in January? This is all. You know, I thought there was like all this outrage that like, we're not trying to do anything. Who is this guy? Well, now he's about to start, presumably, for Portugal. What if he has this great tournament and like all of a sudden, because these World Cups, we always
nothing
talk about,
is going to sate them. He was a European Championship starter in a final. It didn't matter.
But I'm saying
them.
These World Cups always breed these players who burst on the scene and then like there's these huge transfer fees. What if he becomes that guy who has a great tournament and West Ham's like, oh, we actually got in early and this was a major bargain because if he was on the market now, he'd probably be cost a fortune.
Well,
I'm very curious about that.
Don't talk about West Ham and potential Portuguese signing. William Carvalho was another debacle when they tried to sign him.
You know what William Carvalho looks like to me?
Go ahead.
When he has his mustache?
Yeah.
He looks like the final scene of Remember the Titans.
Oh, really?
Because in that movie, it was so funny where they had all, it takes place when they're all in high school on this football team. And then at the end, they fast forward to one of the players at his funeral. It's sad. But the thing that they do to every single guy in the scene, they use all the same actors, but to make them all appear like 20, 25 years older, they just give every single one of them a mustache.
Yep.
He's 26. He looks like he's 46.
A mustache can be extremely aging.
If he shaved, I'm looking at a picture of him now. If he shaved that thing off, he would instantly like revert back to being a child.
19th century dudes with mustaches. You see them. Oh my God, he looks old. What age was he? 25.
It's so true. The mustache is crazy in that way.
I need to just sum up quickly my thoughts on Portugal.
Uh-huh.
I think they've got some fantastic players outside of the obvious in Ronaldo. I do. If they get the right blend in the midfield, I think they could be dangerous.
Okay. I think they've certainly proven that. And then we move on to another side that I have a feeling you and many others also believe is dangerous, and that is Spain. We go into Spain with the song from Maluma called Felices Los Cuatro. This is currently number one on Spotify in Spain. Found out earlier when we had that song playing, one of the guys who works here at ESPN New York, Brian, walked in and said, "Oh, Maluma." I said, "Do you know this guy?" Apparently, he sought out the garden recently. He's Colombian.
What garden? My back garden?
No, the Madison Square Garden.
Oh, right. Okay.
He's
seriously,
like,
if he was
outrageously famous, and I feel like a fool. We didn't know who he was.
If he was playing in my back garden, I would close the curtains.
Oh, you didn't like that?
No, it's terrible.
Who are you? Let's see, Spain.
My arrogance is just. It constantly gets to you. You're not even inured to it right now.
So here we go. Finally now, as we get to the final side of Group B.
This is the toughest team to talk about.
Why is that?
Because they're so good.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Well, do you want to start with... Should we start with a weakness and then work our way up to their what makes them so great and a favorite in many people's minds?
What would be the weakness you'd pick?
Here is... if I was going to force one out, here's what it would be. Do we know that they're strong enough up front that they could afford to leave Alvaro Morata off this side? I know that he's coming off of a set of months that were largely disappointing at Chelsea, and his move to London did not go the way that he had hoped. But
you're looking at Rodrigo Moreno, Valencia, and Lucas Vasquez, Real Madrid, Iago Aspas, who have all gone ahead of him and gone.
And Diego Costa, of
and
course,
gone,
as well.
Huh. Yeah. I just think he's looked at it, he's thought about it, and he's decided that he has enough. He doesn't need Morata.
He was one of four guys in qualifying for them with five goals. So he was a fairly important cog in the Spanish machine as they breezed to qualification. But yeah, look, they're so good. We're asking for a question mark. They're not easy to come by. I just, when I look at them, I can't say, I'm not going to say that it's in defense, because I look at their defense and I think that it's very good. And here's...
Yeah, you're not as outraged at the taking of, we'll say, Nacho Monreal instead of Marcus Alonso. that doesn't perturb you in the same way.
I was really surprised.
You were really surprised?
I was pretty surprised when I saw that. Were you not?
I was, a little bit, considering Alonso had a great season.
Yeah.
A really great season.
Didn't he make the Premier League... see, I confuse our De Vondeling Awards with the actual awards.
He made several...
The team of the season, right?
I think he did, and he made several football writers who were reviewing the season. He made their team of the season. So... might as well jump to the mailbag on that one. Susie in DC. I can't really understand the omission of both Marcus Alonso and Morata from the Spanish side. Can you shed any light on this? Lopetegu, the manager, said, on Morata at least, it's not easy to give 23 players and the doubt always exists. In the case of Morata, he had a complex season, but he could have come. He hasn't because another player has convinced us more.
And which player is that? Does he specify?
He didn't say.
Yeah, I mean, that one was interesting to me.
I would say it might be Moreno at Valencia.
Here's my, I guess, I hate this word, my hot take for Spain. And now I don't have every roster in front of me. I'm just going purely off of the top of my head. I think this is the best midfield in this entire tournament. It doesn't mean that I'm saying this is the best team. I don't think I'm picking them to win. I haven't decided yet. I want to see how...
Well, I am.
Oh, okay. But I think that this is, I mean, Isco, David Silva, Thiago, Busquets, Koke, Saul, Asensio, Lucas, and of course, Iniesta. First of all, have fun choosing from that group right there, a starting set of midfielders.
Can I name the team that played 4-3-3 in a demolition of Argentina in the friendly?
Yeah.
Which we talked about on this pod. David De Gea in goal. Pique, Sergio Ramos, your centre halves. Carvajal and Alba, the full backs. Koke, Thiago Alcantara, Andres Iniesta. Isco, Diego Costa, Asensio. It's scary, man.
Look who's on the bench.
Look who's
still
on the bench.
I mean,
that's scary. And that's why I find them difficult to talk about, because for some reason, I look at them and I think, there's no perfect team in the world, obviously, but I look at that and it's close to perfect.
Well, yeah. See, what I need to do before I decide who I'm going to have winning this entire thing, I want to look at the actual like tournament format. You know how Group B1 takes on A2 and
yeah,
all that
and
stuff.
It feels too early for that yet.
I haven't done that yet, which is sad. I feel like I should have done that.
No, I looked at it today. Yeah. But I didn't commit any of it to memory because it just feels a little bit.
But so there it is. Already we're just in Group B, and you're putting Spain out there as the team you're picking.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to rip on you for that. Does this feel? I feel like this is a term we've been using for a little while with Spain. Is this a last hurrah? Look, there's so many great young players on this team. I don't mean a last hurrah like that. I just mean Iniesta, Ramos, and Pique. Is there a bit of an end of an era feel to this, or did that already happen with like Xavi and Xabi Alonso not being there?
I felt that happened already at 2014, and
David Villa,
when we saw them lose 2-0 to Italy in the European Championships, yeah. That felt a little bit like a closing of the book on the last. This feels new, and if you look at my X Factor players, I've lumped two in together, Isco and Asensio, the Real Madrid pair. They seem to, I don't know, the way they've burst onto the scene, the way they play, it's so Spanish, but it's so fresh and new, and it's like a changing in the guard seeing those guys take leadership roles on this team as important players. So I think I'm past that stage with them. This is new era Spain for me.
Yeah, with a few holdovers, like we said, Iniesta, Pique, and
yeah, I mean, it's always time for you've got to play the classics, you know.
Yeah, I love this team. I'm really, really excited about them. I'm feeling, if I were a Spanish fan, I'm feeling pretty good. I've been trying to think of teams to adopt. Not that my heart will really be in any of them. But I have always enjoyed Spain, the way they play. You know, I can certainly get behind Iniesta. I feel like we've been saying goodbye to Iniesta for like so long now.
Yeah.
Like now here comes another goodbye for him.
That's why we should just like try and not frame everything as changing of the guards. This is the end. Just enjoy them, though. Yeah. And this tournament is going to be a great chance to do that.
So there you go. Should we go now to our wheel that we dusted off for our Group A? The wheel's back. We've changed out the four teams that are in it. Should we give it a spin for JJ's Blast from the Past?
Please do.
And it's Morocco.
Oh, Morocco. And this is Basir striking first for Morocco versus Craig Burley, Scotland, in France 98.
Good backpedaling, but not sufficient. Oh, and a beautifully taken goal by Basir. Just one long ball. Colin Hendry trying to back away. And it was a finely struck shot.
Lovely volley from Basir. But, yeah, that game didn't go too well for our dear friend of the pod, who was a... He was Football Writers Player of the Year in Scotland, centre midfield, with dyed hair.
More problems for Scotland. Craig Burley taking out his frustrations, taking out the legs of Basir at the same time. Life as a blonde, not treating Burley so well. Scotland down to 10 men in the Tartan Army, bombing to say the least. 85th minute.
What a bad guy. He's one of our closest friends of this podcast. Why do that? Why burn a bridge when there's just no need for it?
It was
a red card.
It was unfair. Red card.
Dyed hair.
I'd forgotten about it.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about it. And he takes out one of their best players, the aforementioned Basir. Bad tackle. Sent off. A night of ignominy for the Scots. Both Scotland and Morocco went out of that group.
So that is your blast from the past. Do we have a Group B mailbag?
Jacob McKenzie. Ronaldo can't carry Portugal through Group B. Morocco claims second spot, which is kind of tying in with what you're saying about how you really like this Moroccan team. Let me see. KMD De Niro, he has more wild statements. Iran will finish above Morocco. Group B definitely has one of the top five group matches. Iran versus Morocco, instant classic. I actually think that could be a good game. And Eswald 11, Spain will be on top again. Don't sleep on Morocco. CR7 will be top in shots, chances taken, but will bow out at group stage. Also, Suarez will bite the ref in the last match. And Brian De Silva...
I believe that's a Group A one, but it needed to be said, apparently.
Yeah. Brian De Silva says Portugal will make the semis and could potentially win the entire tournament.
Wow.
Now, Brian De Silva... doesn't take... I had a quick look at his profile when he tweeted that.
He's Portuguese, perhaps?
He comes from New Jersey, from a part of New Jersey, which would have a fair amount of Portuguese.
Okay.
We have a huge Portuguese community in North Jersey, by the way. Shout out to them. They'll probably be upset with everything we've said about Portugal, but whatever.
Were we overly negative with Portugal?
No, we just want them to do better than Euro 2016 when they won a tournament, which is really unfair, but it feels that
way.
Those
are your words. I don't know if I said that. So prediction time. I'm going to be honest. I'm having a really hard time here. Spain I have winning this group. Iran I have finishing fourth. I'm really struggling with my Portugal and Morocco picks.
Wow.
I know I mentioned Morocco as my dark horse earlier, so I feel like such a coward saying that, but then selecting Portugal second. However, that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Portugal.
I've talked you round.
I'm going to have Portugal as my number two, but I think that people will still leave this tournament feeling good about the football that Morocco plays.
Spain, Portugal are going to struggle a little bit more, but they'll get through. It'll be Spain and Portugal one and two, followed by Morocco.
There you go. So that's Group B, Buster.
Fun.
And now that this podcast is over, you know what this means? This means that you're just mere hours away from your trip to Kiev. Are you just like...
I'm pumped, man. It's impossible to put it into words. I've been watching Liverpool Football Club social media putting out a lot of old-timers talking about great European Cup triumphs of the past. And I'm getting a lump in my throat. I feel the hairs on the back of my neck standing up.
Are you drunk already?
I'm drunk on excitement.
Oh. That's a different kind.
Which is the greatest elixir of all.
High on life and spreading the word. What are you going to do on this long plane ride? You got some good stuff lined up on your Netflix?
Yeah, I don't.
Oh.
I need to line it up.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
Yeah.
It's important.
It is important because it's not...
As it is, you're going to be spending more time in the air than on the ground.
It's nearly 10 hours, so...
Yeah, and you're there for like 14.
What are you talking about?
You're there for like a day, a full day.
Yeah.
You land on Friday evening.
Right.
The game is Saturday.
Right.
You leave Sunday.
Why are you trying to diminish? I love the way that this
you're in the air
passive,
a long time.
Passive-aggressive chipping away at something that's so special to me.
I've never gotten over the thing you said to me at my Eagles road trip.
How's your Eagles road trip now when you lost to the Washington Redskins?
Yeah. Which... one of the worst losses I've ever seen in person. And there's always that set a tone in our relationship where it's hard for me to be happy for your successes.
It's hard for you to be happy. You can cut it right there.
Well, I'm happy about this, and I hope you are as well with our Group B preview. Next week, Groups C and D. And after that, we're almost... I mean, this thing is coming. June 14th, right? We're not that far
off.
We're not that far off. Of course, this weekend is the Champions League final. I joke, but I am actually truly excited about you being in Kiev. And we'll do a special podcast. You're going to land and then basically get to your hostel, and we're going to do a preview show with you in Kiev for the Champions League final.
Which is great.
So keep your eyes open for that. Should be out sometime tomorrow evening-ish on your Memorial Day weekend commute to wherever you're headed. Hey, this was a good job by you. I'm really proud. I'm happy with the work that you did here. To you, I say...
Take you later, fun boy.
I'll see you.
Allez, allez, allez.
You've been listening to the Caught Offside Soccer Podcast.